Is baking on your holiday to-do list? Maybe you're planning to make tasty treats for friends and family instead of buying gifts. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to offer tips on making your holiday cookies beautiful and delicious are Brown Bear Bakery owner Claire Fornshell. Welcome back, Claire. Blair. My gosh, I just said the wrong thing. Blair Fornshell, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
And Happy Chicks Bakery owner, Jana Douglas. Thanks for being here, Jana.
Thank you. Hi.
It's great to have you. Blair, what supplies does every serious cookie baker need? Is it about cookie scoops? Is it about silicone baking mats? What do you need for supplies?
I think having cookie cutters is always really important. Cookie scoops, so you can have things really consistent and beautifully baked. The cookie scoops really help in making sure your portion sizes are all exact, so the times and temperatures are easy to predict. Rolling pins are really important, and then a scale, so you can weigh out all your ingredients.
Oh, scale, I would never think about a scale.
Yeah.
That's important. What, anything you'd like to add to that, Jana?
Actually, it was funny when she said scale, that was the first thing I was going to say as well. A good sifter, so you can like sift a lot of the ingredients. That helps as well.
Okay. This explains a lot about my cookie failings. All of these things I just heard. And Blair, what are your must-have ingredients for the tastiest cookies?
Okay. For me, the biggest, most important thing is butter. I really love to use a high-quality European butter for cookies. Most of my recipes are pretty simple, under 6 ingredients. So you want to use really high in quality ingredients, flour as well, using organic and unbleached flours if you're able to. Also incorporating some whole grains I think is really nice and it gives a good spin. I also really love to use different types of teas in flavoring cookies, which you can take one recipe, split it up, add the teas, and have 10 different flavors.
Yeah. What about pure vanilla extract? Is that a must-have?
For sure. I don't even think about imitation anymore. The first time I had thought about it was when it snowed. Last week, my mom used to make vanilla snow, we called it. And it was just a snow with cream and imitation vanilla. And it's the first time I thought about it in years, just because the real thing is so important.
Yeah.
It makes such a difference.
Yeah. Now, Jana, I know your baked goods are vegan.
Yes.
So what are your must-have ingredients? What's your go-to substitute for, like, eggs and butter in your recipes?
Well, for butter, there are lots of vegan butters on the market. You always, if you are taking traditional recipes, which is what I always recommend people do, a lot of times vegan recipes online just have way too many steps. They're way too complicated. If you just take tried and true traditional recipes and sub out the vegan ingredients, much better.
Wow, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
Don't make it more complicated for yourself.
Don't make it more complicated. just subbing out and then using it depends on what you're making, but a vinegar works really well as a substitute for eggs, just a plain white vinegar.
Huh.
As does if you're making something more like brownies, like a flaxseed, you can there's recipes on the bag about how to make like a flax egg. But other than that, just like Blair said, high quality ingredients. I make most of my own extracts for flavorings.
Like what kinds of extracts?
Like lavender, mint. I mean, you can pretty much make just about anything.
Yeah. So how do you do it? How do you make a mint or lavender extract?
Extracts are extremely easy to make. Basically, you just take a giant bottle of cheap vodka and you just put the thing in it. So if you're making vanilla extract, you just put vanilla beans in the vodka. You're making mint extract, you just put peppermint leaves in, you know, the vodka. Same with lavender. It's very easy.
Is there like a recipe online for how long you leave it in there?
I'm sure there are, but usually a month and a half usually does it.
Okay.
And then outside of that, good quality flour. I cook with a lot of spices, so I love like taking, you know, maybe even more of a traditional cookie recipe and then adding, you know, cinnamon to it, adding cardamom to it, adding cayenne to it, and just sort of changing it up that way.
Yeah. Blair, do you make your own extracts?
I don't. I have before, like at home and things like that, but at the bakeries, we just use really high quality pre-made things, which are consistent and great, and we go through quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Do you find that making your own extracts, is that cost saving? Is that more economical for you too, Jana? Or
it depends on
how cheap that vodka is.
Yeah. And the vodka is pretty cheap. So like we've always made our own vanilla because it's way cheaper for us. Some of the other ones, you know, it depends. But if you're buying, like Blair said, if you're buying good extracts, they're really expensive. So making your own does tend to make sense.
Yeah. Well, do you have cookie baking questions for our experts? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So Blair, if you want to make cookies as gifts for holiday trays or parties, I don't even know if you want to do that because you're making so many cookies for your job. But if you did want to do that, what are the kinds of cookies you can plan ahead?
Oh, for sure. I mean, cookies are a great thing to plan ahead. Pretty much any cookie you can make ahead of time unless you're doing a meringue. So shortbreads. Shortbread's my very favorite cookie. I like thick shortbreads, thin ones, rolled shortbreads, any kind of shortbread. So shortbreads are really great to make ahead of time, and they're also easy to store in the freezer. You can just make your dough, roll it into a log, cut those into equal portions, put them in a Ziploc, and freeze. Any of your scooped cookies, chocolate chip cookies, oatmeal cookies, anything like that, snickerdoodles, you can make your batter, scoop those with a cookie scoop onto parchment, freeze them once they're solid, put them in a Ziploc bag and into the freezer as well. And a way to make cookies for the holidays at home and make it not an entire process 3 days before, you can make a batch every couple days, throw them in the freezer, and then in one day have everything ready to bake and decorate.
Yeah.
It makes it really streamlined and easy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Are there things that you prefer to do in advance, Jana?
I prefer to do just about everything in advance. Especially at, in a bakery, you have processes and then things could happen on certain days. But even especially at home, you have one small oven. So again, I try to prep everything in advance and have doughs ready. Yeah. Sometimes my mother has cookie dough pretty much at all times, and she just throws, half dozen in the oven when they feel like having cookies all throughout the year.
That's some strong mothering right there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, we have a caller on the line. Hey, Alyssa, thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi. My favorite flavoring is dulce de leche. And is there a shortcut for having that flavoring to add to a cookie? And I was wondering if either of your guests had a great cookie recipe for that, using that flavoring.
That's a good question.
I guess it really just depends on how you want to go about it. I am sure you can find commercially available dulce de leche flavorings, and then you could just use that in like a shortbread cookie. I've never specifically made that cookie, so I don't have a specific recipe.
You have any thoughts, Blair?
I've never made a flavoring, like a dulce de leche flavoring. I've made the product itself and done, like, again, with a shortbread. I've just made a shortbread cookie and then piped a meringue around the outside or a Swiss buttercream and filled it with the dulce de leche. But I have not found a shortcut to get that flavor. It is a really deep, rich flavor that I think the time that goes into making it is really important and what makes it so delicious. So I don't have any shortcuts, unfortunately, for that.
Yeah.
Not even Jungle Gyms has some magical shortcut.
They might. They have that whole section of flavorings that I haven't ventured to in years, but I bet they have something that's worth trying.
Yeah. Could a filled cookie work with that flavor, do you think? Or is that...
That would be kind of hard because the dulce de leche, it's going to seep out. Like the reason you would do the meringue, like Blair said, is it's frankly what keeps it in the cookie. On the cookie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good luck, Alyssa. Let us know if you give it a try and how it goes. Good luck with those cookies. We have Jackie on the line. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, I have a couple family members who are going gluten-free this year, and so I'm wondering if you have any good suggestions for gluten-free cookies I could make.
Absolutely. I would basically say the same thing as with the vegan. Take your recipes that you have always used and just simply sub out the flour for a gluten-free flour blend. The two ones that I've used the most are the Bob's Red Mill 1-to-1 or the King Arthur gluten-free. For the most part, you really don't have to change anything else.
Yeah, I would agree. I've used both of those products as well, and they're such a great, easy swap. Also online, if you look up Liz Pruitt, she has her own blend of gluten-free flour. It incorporates sweet rice flour, there's some buckwheat, just some different things that give it a little more flavor if you really want to take the time to make your own blend. But like Jana said, the pre-made ones are excellent, and they're quick and easy, and especially if this is your first time working with gluten-free, it's a great place to start.
Our producer is also asking about almond flour, coconut flour. Are those options that can work well?
They are options that work well in combination with other flours. A coconut flour is going to be extremely brittle and crumbly and just not really stick together. Almond flour is delicious if you want a very specific almondy, like almost like biscotti almost texture. It's not going to give you anything that's like light and fluffy and crunchy because it just doesn't have the right like components. It's way too heavy. Mm-hmm. But it will give you a great flavor, and you can mix it in with other things.
Are there any recipes that you like that are gluten-free just because they're gluten-free, like they just don't need flour? I'm thinking of these oatmeal bars with like peanut butter in there and chocolate frosting or something like that. I mean, they're just gluten-free and nothing has to be necessarily substituted, mm-hmm. right? They just happen to be deliciously gluten-free. Are there any recipes like that that you like?
I mean, a lot of egg-based recipes where you whip the egg whites work really well for gluten-free, naturally and delicious. Doing meringue cookies again. I think I've said meringue 7 times. I don't know why. I haven't made meringue cookies in probably 10 years. But also macarons. Those are naturally gluten-free with the almond flour and delicious. A little more challenging, but if you're making them at home, they don't have to look perfect. They're going to taste really great. There's also a lot of buckwheat cookies that are naturally gluten-free and delicious. Shortbreads you can make. And again, they don't have the structural integrity that you would get from a traditional flour, but delicious and gluten-free naturally.
Yeah. What about no flour brownies with cocoa powder?
Oh, yeah. That's another ingredient after when you were asking the important ingredients, good cocoa powder and good chocolate.
Absolutely. Good cocoa powder makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a lot of flourless brownies, flourless little chocolate tea cakes you can make that are naturally gluten-free as well and really delicious.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jackie. I hope that helps, and I hope you have a great holiday with your family members there. What – I want to ask you each this, so I'll ask you first, Jana. What are your favorite recipes? Do you have some that are classics and any that you kind of like to put a new twist on an old favorite?
Oh, yes. Well, we make – at the shop, we make quite a different few different versions of a chocolate chip cookie. We make a black raspberry chocolate chip cookie. We make a Turkish coffee chocolate chip cookie. We have even made a wasabi chocolate chip cookie, which we don't make very often but is surprisingly good. And some that's just kind of one of the things that I like to do is take something classic, like as with Blair, I love shortbread cookies, and then just incorporating our own take on it. Same thing with like thumbprint cookies, doing different jams infused with different herbs is kind of like a direction I like to go in.
Yeah. What about you, Blair? Yeah. What are your favorites?
Shortbreads are my absolute favorite. I do those very seasonally, changing them up with the different flavor Swiss meringue that are topping with it, and then jams and apple butters and pumpkin butters and caramels and things like that. An easy one to do to prep for a larger amount of people in a short amount of time is blondies. I really like to do blondies with seasonal ingredients as well. in the wintertime, any preserves that I have left over from summer and spring, I like to dollop onto the brownies before, I'm sorry, the blondies before they go in the oven. Tossing on some brittles before is really nice. And then in the springtime, I like to do rhubarb on there, blackberries in the summer. Blondies are just really great, and you can cut them up into little squares, pop them in the freezer and have them whenever, or pull them all out for a party.
Yeah. Now, cutting up into the squares, you know, when I was a much younger human and I had much younger children, sometimes instead of making the chocolate chip cookies, like dropping them over and over while my children were trying to burn down the house or whatever, I would just smush all that batter in a pan and make pan cookies, sheet cookies, bar cookies, whatever you want to call it. Is that cheating? Is that a way to kind of just get her done? How do you all feel about that?
I think
that's great.
Yeah, I think they're in baking. You're just having fun and you're making something for people that you care about and things that you want to share with others. And I don't think that there's any wrong way to go about it.
No, I don't think cheating really exists in baking. I mean, yeah, if it's good and you're baking something, yeah, like you said, from the heart to give other people, like you should do whatever you want and whatever you like. There's no right or wrong.
Well, good. That alleviates a lot of maternal guilt I've been holding for a long time.
And it sounds like you were being innovative. You were just like, whatever, I'm pushing them all down.
That's
and
right.
This works.
Smush it, yeah. What are there any types of cookies, Blair, you refuse to include in a holiday cookie tray? And I will ask this because I read an article and this woman said she won't make chocolate chip cookies for the holidays because she thinks holiday cookies should be special, which rocked my world.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never heard of that because a chocolate chip cookie is one of the most special cookies to me in general.
Agreed.
It's one of the most recognizable. Yeah. Everybody's had a chocolate chip cookie. So, yeah, I don't think – for me at the bakery, sometimes I worry about putting peanut butter or something like that for an allergy reason. But I don't think that there's anything that you can put in that doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Okay. Okay, good.
Oh, chocolate chip cookie.
I know. Isn't that shocking?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. Because – and everybody – I think everybody likes different things. Like a lot of times we have people come into the bakery and they look at the case and they're like, oh, well, what's the best thing or what should I get? And I was like, well, there isn't a best thing. There isn't. Everyone has different tastes. So as long as you are putting together a cookie tray of all the things you love, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no wrong.
Okay, good, good. Okay. Are you fans of royal icing? I will say I just had my first royal icing experience over the weekend because of my talented sister. She asked for help decorating. I didn't know what this was. I had read about it Friday, and all of a sudden I'm like using it.
Yeah.
Do you like to use the royal icing? What do you think, Jana?
Do I like to use it? No.
Why? Because it's complicated?
Yes. Is there a very specific purpose and need for it, depending on what you're doing? Yes. Some things you just need to do in royal icing. But it's not the most fun thing in the world to work with.
Okay. And that's just because of the look of it. That's why you just have to use it sometimes.
Yeah. Because any other icing doesn't get as hard as royal icing. And if you need something to be kind of 3D, or especially when you think of decorated cookies and you think about the intricate patterns and the, you know, if you use a glaze, they're all going to run together. But if you're using the royal icing, they hold up on their own. So you can get, you know, the little eyes with the, you know, you can just get the details that you can't get without it.
Yeah. What do you think? Are you a royal icing fan or foe? Do you just put up with it because you have to, Blair?
We don't use it much. I don't use it much. Christmas, Valentine's Day, Easter, three times a year that I'm working with royal icing. It's beautiful. It's delicious. You do have to make sure it's covered all the time so it doesn't dry out while you're using it. You've got to have your wet paper towels on the side to clean your piping tips so it doesn't get clogged.
This explains I did not have that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Note to self.
Yes, and if you have a little cup of warm water next to it, if your tip gets clogged at any time, you can just sit it in there for a second and that'll loosen it up. And just making sure it's staying covered, even a moist towel if you don't have cling wrap to put on top of the bin that it's in, because it is finicky. It's really pretty, though, and it tastes great, and you can make a lot of beautiful things with it that you can't using any other product.
One thing I tried to mess up right out of the gate, and my sister stopped me, was we were icing entire cookies, and you have to outline it with one kind. Mm-hmm. before you flood it with another kind. And I tried to flood right out of the gate. And my sister's like, no. So, yeah. I mean, it's a little tricky.
It is tricky. And finding that consistency where you're creating those borders and then finding the consistency when you're flooding it with a little bit thinner of the royal icing, it takes a lot of practice.
Yeah.
Thankfully, at this point, we have recipes. So each year I can just pull it up. And look at it and say, oh, yeah, that's what it is. But finding out those initial ratios, it's difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes me feel better, too. Do you always chill your cookie dough before you bake it? Or is that only something you do with some types of dough and not other types of dough? What do you think, Jana?
I always chill everything except the gluten-free. It's not as important because the gluten-free doesn't have gluten, so the gluten's not activated, so you don't really have to worry about it. But everything else, yeah, it's good to – I'm chilling it – definitely letting it rest, whether you're chilling it or not. But, yeah, I usually chill most things.
You're a chiller, Blair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I chill everything at least overnight. I'm trying to think of anything that I don't chill cookie-wise, doughs, but yeah, everything. The bars that we were talking about earlier, blondies and brownies, things like that, those can go right into the oven. But any individual cookie, I always chill.
Okay. How important do you think decorating is? Is it as important as is it as important for it to be beautiful as it is to be tasty, in your opinion, Blair?
I think so. I think for me, I really love the artistry of baking and the way that you can take something that is a chocolate chip cookie or that is a shortbread and make it completely your own and unlike any chocolate chip cookie you've ever seen or unlike any shortbread. So for me, yes, it's very important. I'm not very big on the we were just talking about royal icing and like decorated cookies, things like that I don't really do. I do more organic kind of things from the pantry, so dried fruits and teas and nuts, things like that to decorate, which I think is really visually pretty, but it's also delicious.
Yeah. The artistry, is that important for you, Jana? Just in like 10 seconds, unfortunately.
Yes, the artistry is very important, especially at the bakery. However, I will say, don't feel like if your stuff doesn't look beautiful that it's not delicious and that people won't love it. I mean, just because you make something great, you know, it doesn't have to be beautiful.
Amen, Jana. I've been talking with Brown Bear Bakery owner Blair Fornshell and Happy Chicks Bakery owner Jana Douglas. Thank you both so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. Rob Vetter's composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.